I have two scriptures to read to you tonight, one from Deuteronomy and one from Revelation. First from Deuteronomy, I want to read from the 12th chapter, and I'll start at verse 29, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29. And read to the end of that chapter, which is verse 32. And then we'll go to the last book in the Bible, Revelation, to the last chapter in the Bible, 22, and read several verses from it. But first, let's hear God's word from Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning verse 29. Hear, people of God, your precious God. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burned in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And then Revelation chapter 22, and I will read chapter 22, verses 18 to 21. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So ends the reading of God's holy word to us. Heavenly Lord, we do pray once again, thy truth would just be a joy to us. If it is a joy to us when we hear it, when we hear it read, when we hear it preached upon, we'll remember it. We'll remember it much, much better, much, much more easily. And we'll grow as a result. So be with us now, we pray in your name. Amen. Well, there's really one thing that I want you to note from both the readings in Deuteronomy and in Revelation, and that is the precious, I want to say precious warning that God gives. It's more than that. It's a stern warning as well. It's to be careful not to add to the word that I tell you or take away from it. Now, you know that the Israelites were warned that they were to destroy out of the land everyone, men, women, and children, because the children would grow up and become a snare to you. They didn't listen to that, and they did become a snare to them. Israel did not obey every single word that God had given them, and it was to their, in some cases, utter destruction. Many cases. In Revelation, we have the admonition, the warning to be careful not to add to the word because I'm going to add the plagues. Now, I know there are some that say, well, it's just talking about Revelation, but since it's the book in the Bible, it's the last book in the Bible, if you add anything, right, beyond the Bible, you're adding to the Bible, you're adding to the book of Revelation. And so, or you take away from it. I don't want to talk tonight to you about adding so much. You have already heard of those who add to the Bible, right? Of course, the cults add to the Bible all the time. The Mormons, for example, add the Book of Mormon. That is a cult, by the way. I know that there's been some presidential candidates and such that have been Mormons, all Mormons. Be that as it may, that's a cult. And it's a severe thing to be in a cult, because they deny that Jesus is God. And of course, that's just a terrible, terrible, wicked, wicked, blasphemous thing to do. And a whole religion is for that. But they add to the Bible also the works of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, Russell and Jehovah's Witnesses got a new Bible, a new interpretation, when he stayed in the room and wouldn't come out until he reinterpreted things. And so on it goes. There are charismatics that add to the Bible, right, by their tongue speaking and interpretation of those tongues, new revelations, new prophecies. There, Rome, of course, has added to the Bible, the Apocrypha books, for example, that we call the Apocrypha, they call the Bible. And also their tradition, which they've elevated to the level of Scripture. Actually, it's above Scripture, because it is the church that determines the canon to them, and not, as we rightly say, the canon that determines the church. So there's a number of people that have added to the Scriptures. And we hear about that a lot. But what about those who subtract? Well, I'm sure the things I'm about to say, of course, they've been said before, as I point out all the time. And they have been summarized in articles that I have read, and commentaries and things, but there are a number of ways that people detract or subtract, as some say, from the Word. And I want to talk about those with you tonight. They're very brief things. I don't want to get too heavy or into them all. I just want to rehearse them to you and, you know, pretty much get your amen from within. You don't have to say that out loud, but you know, just, yeah, amen, that's the way, that's what I believe, that's what I feel. Now, there are some that say that they deny the Word of God. So that's one example, and the first example of what I want to point up and out to you. As I said, I don't want to belabor that, because you know what it is to deny the Scripture as the Word of God, to deny the Bible as Word. That is diminishing from the Word that God has said. That is subtracting from the Bible. That's taking out something. And in this case, it's taking out the whole Scripture, right? Because there are people, and we call them liberals, and I don't mean that politically speaking, right? But liberal theologians and liberal scholars and things like that, that do not believe, and they teach others, that do not believe that the Bible is the alone Word of God, that it is inspired any more than any other books are. They do believe that it is it's a high writing, that it's a religious writing, that the people that have written the Bible were wise men and such, but it's simply a human book, a human word. And so they do not. That leads to all kinds of problems, right? When you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, the only Word of God, from cover to cover, then what happens is, what has happened to the liberals is you begin to worship a God of your own making. You begin to pick and choose and say, well, this is okay, this I agree with, and this I do not. And you begin to think that, well, because this is not the Word of God, it's a religious book, it's laudable, it's praiseworthy and all, but so is the Quran. And so are the writings of Buddha. And so is the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu scriptures, and so on and so forth. And so you do not appreciate what you have in the Bible. And it leads you to say things like, well, Christians are not the only ones that are going to heaven. Christians are not the only ones that are saved. There are Jews that are saved, obedient to their religion. There are Muslims that are saved. There are Hindus that are, there are all kinds of people that are saved. It leads you far astray from the truth. And so to deny the scriptures as the word of God, that's kind of obvious, right? I think all of us here, I'm sort of talking to the choir, as they say, have no problem with believing that the Bible is the word of God. Now, we may have a problem here and there with this scripture and that scripture because it rubs us the wrong way, or because it kind of condemns a family member that we like or a friend. But we know in our heart of hearts that the Bible is the word of God, and we believe it as such, and we embrace it as such. And thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that you do. Because you can only do that, you can only see that because of an operation of God's Spirit, right? I mean, I told you, I think I mentioned when I studied the Bible at school at Queens College, we were in class studying the Bible, and I would read it, along with all the others in class, but I would read it and think nothing of it. You know, in one ear, out the other, or it was boring in some spots, probably because I read too slowly. You know, I was the boring one, but be that as it may, it didn't impress me until God opened my eyes and ears. He revealed himself to me, and then every word began to leap from the page at me as I read through the scriptures. And of course, I couldn't put them down after God opened my eyes and ears to it being the word of God. So that's the first thing. Denial of the scriptures. There are many, many people that have that do deny the scriptures, that do deny that they are the words, that the Bible contains the words of God. It's the only book. So that would be subtracting, detracting. That's one thing. Another way people deny that the Bible is the word of God, they deny that certain events took place. You know, that the scripture reports on things, but it's not real, like miracles. You know, like Jefferson did, Thomas Jefferson, cut out all the miracles in his Bible because he didn't believe in them. He was a moralist. He believed in like a deist, that the Bible teaches morality, good morality, and ethics. And that's what's important. That's what it's about. But the miracles, that they're just stories to enhance it a little bit. They didn't really happen. And that's why people have such a problem with creation, and the creation in 6 days, and God speaking, and everything came about by his word. Because they just deny that events that are reported in the Bible as true and reliable are not. And there are an awful lot of people like that will trust the Bible. They'll argue that in matters of faith, it's to be accepted as the word of God, but not in other matters. And certainly not scientific. And it's not a scientific book. But God doesn't need to be a scientist in order to create something. In fact, no scientist on the planet creates anything. It's all working with material that's around. No one creates anything except God. And that's one thing they can't understand. They can't look beyond their nose at that. And see, we're walking in a miracle. But there are the events of Scripture that are denied. The archaeologists try to find. I think they're still looking for Jericho. The Bible's quite clear about Jericho, but they for the longest time could not find any evidence whatsoever of the Hittite nation, which was in the Bible, it was a great nation. It was one of the most powerful nations on the earth. They could find no evidence whatsoever, so they thought the Bible was wrong until they did find evidence. And they found out the Bible was right. And each and every time they find something, they discover that the Bible was accurate, the Bible was correct. But of course, there are many things that to this day have not been proven by science or such. And so they deny many of the events of the Bible. Certainly the first 11 chapters in Genesis are myth. Many people calling themselves Christians think of those 11 chapters as myth. So those are two things. The third thing that's popular in subtracting from the Bible is claiming that the Bible contains incorrect statements, especially about creation. I already hinted at that, mentioned about that. But again, I'm not shy to bring it up. I don't know, have you ever gone to a Reformed church or in your travels and heard someone say from the pulpit, OP church, PCA church, Reformed church, that Genesis chapter 1 is literal, and anybody that thinks differently or says differently is denying explicit truth? Have you ever heard someone say that? I have not. I was told not to say that. And I think I mentioned this to one or two or three or four of you that, well, then I said, bring me up on charges. Imagine bringing up a minister in the denomination on charges that he believes in the literal interpretation of Genesis chapter 1. You think that go over well? Well, no such thing. Now, many people in the OPC, don't get me wrong, believe that. But I don't know how many really preach and say that the others are wrong for teaching otherwise. But there are those claiming that the Bible contains incorrect statements. And they get this from this, like there was a book written a little while ago by Jeremy Royal Howard, in which he brings out certain things that are believed these days in and being taught in seminaries and in Bible schools and colleges. This is not something that's just out in the world. This is in the Christian world. The Bible often speaks in accordance with pre-scientific views that are not literally correct. I'll give you another quote here and then say a word or two about it. The Bible, in fact, speaks only in accordance with ancient views that, while once held to be incontestably true by many people, are now proven incorrect. I'll give you another one. It is a mistake for Christians to expect the Bible to make literally correct statements about science 2,000 years before the advent of modern science. One more. A revelation from God must be given in terms that are comprehensible. And thus, in principle, we should not expect that the Bible outpaces ancient pre-scientific concepts about the structure, function, or age of nature. So in other words, what these quotes are saying here, which are held by Christians, that the Bible was written, sort of toned down. God was giving the people an understanding of things based on what they could understand, what they could relate to. And so he really wasn't telling them the whole truth. He was giving to them, the ancients, what they could comprehend at the time. And so he really wasn't speaking the whole truth. But now that we know better, 2,000 years later, with all the science around, we realize that these things were children's story, like stories you tell to children, or, you know, the way you word it is as if you're speaking to a child on his level of understanding. And so you might not really get, you know, the whole truth out. That's what is believed. And that's subtracting from the Word of God, my estimation. God says not to do that. Be, you know, when he says that we're not to add, or we're not to, we're going to be added to the plagues, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful thing. And look what happened to the Israelites who did not do, who subtracted from the word of God, who did not do everything that God had commanded them to do. They were utterly cast out of the land. And they were harassed and finally brought down because of it. So there's incorrect teachings in the Bible. That's how you deny the Bible. Incorrect about creation, maybe about other things. And so I would say we need to be very careful about doing stuff like that, about doing things like that. You know, it would mean, wouldn't it mean if God was speaking to his people in earlier times in sort of a childish fashion and giving them words like half-truths and things like that, that God would be lying? Is that what, I mean, you know, when I told my children, fairy tales, I'd say, these are fairy tales. You want to hear a fairy tale? You know, they're very famous stories, but they're for children and they're not true. They're not literal. Remember, I got in trouble one time for, I was young. I was a young pastor, and I was, you know, full of, what do they call that, vim, spit and vinegar, whatever. And the youngster asked me about Santa Claus. I told him it's not true. You know, you don't want to just, you want to talk to the parents about that. I want to tell your parents. Let your parents tell you. Now, my son, for the longest time, believed in Santa Claus. And I couldn't convince them. I mean, I told them right out when they early on. I told them the stories, and we watched the Rudolph show, cartoons, and we did all that. And the kids liked it, enjoyed it. But you realize that that's a cartoon, and it's not true. And the kids, yeah. But my son, no. So I told them one Christmas, I said, well, this time I'm not going to get you any gifts. You have to write to Kris Kringle. And you write to Kris Kringle and give him your list. I don't want to see your list. You give it. You send it off to the North Pole. He'll get it if he's real. And I think that cured him of Santa Claus, believing in Santa Claus, because he didn't want to do that. Because he knew who brought the gifts. So are we going to claim that God is speaking to his people like that, kind of giving them fairy tales, kind of giving them half-truths, telling them stories because they couldn't possibly understand the truth about the cosmos, for example, and creation, and the fact that it's miraculous that God spoke and there wasn't, you know, he doesn't have to work at the speed of light. Light has to work at the speed of light, not God. And so that's another way that people subtract from the Word of God. And we're told in both places here in Deuteronomy and Revelation not to do that. Also, another way that people could subtract from the Word and diminish it is they claim that something God has revealed belongs hidden, or belongs to the hidden things of God. Have you ever heard about that? That these are the hidden things of God. And so, for example, you have people that say about election and predestination, that's God's business. We're not really going to get into that. We're not really going to emphasize election and predestination because that's God's. That He knows who's going to save. And so they don't talk about it much, if at all. And that's one of the hidden things of God. But he's revealed predestination. He's revealed His choice in His people. From cover to cover, He's talked about it continuously throughout the Scriptures. He's informed us that salvation belongs to God, that I am the one. It's not of man that wills or of man that runs, but it's God that shows mercy on whom He will show mercy. That's not hidden. Now, it's hidden in terms of the names and how much of a future we have left and how many more people have to come to know Jesus Christ and who among our family, friends, and neighbors are going to be saved. You know, God hasn't revealed that, but He certainly revealed that it's His choice that brings salvation to a people. He regenerates. He gives eyes, sight to eyes, and they're open, and they have to see. Like Augustine pointed out, the eye, it's its nature to see. If God does not give you an eye, then you can't see. If God does not give your soul eyes to see, with which to see, and ears with which to hear, you can't see. You can't hear the truth. But once God does that remarkably, miraculously, supernaturally, through the work of His Spirit, we see. So there are hidden things, but not in the Bible. The Bible reveals all things that God wants us to have and to hold. And He certainly revealed the truth about predestination and His decree of predestination and election. Double predestination, too, where double predestination, where He speaks of those who are destined, or not destined, but chosen to be with Him in heaven, and those who are not. Reprobation, right? The doctrine of reprobation, that there is a number, a specific number. God knows that number. In fact, He gives that number in Revelation, 144,000. It's a spiritual number, of course. It's not a literal number there. It's symbolic of all His people. And only that 144,000 is going to be saved. The rest are not. And nothing and no one can change that. God is faithful, has promised. And He will see it to the end. And so I think, as not just I, but others, it's a very grievous sin to think that God has hidden what He has not. That's subtracting from the Word. That's taking from the Word. What do you mean He didn't talk about that? There are people today. There are people that are Christian church, that will not preach on hell and damnation. That's too negative. And they'll say so. I do not preach on hell anymore. The doctrine of hell. And they have their reasons. That is a way of diminishing from the Word of God, subtracting from the Word. And we need to be careful here. Extremely careful. The whole Scripture, everything, the whole truth, the whole counsel of God is given to us. And it's given to us to teach to others and to preach. And finally, in the fifth place, that's all I have time to talk about, is claiming that one of God's commandments, or some of His commands, are merely cultural requirements. Have you ever heard that? So in other words, women elders, women pastors, that was particular to the time in which it was written, the Bible was written, the Scriptures were written. Paul was a victim of his day and age. So, yeah, you're not going to find women priest in the Old Testament. No women priests in the Old Testament. And you're not going to find women elders and pastors in the New Testament. Because it was culturally relevant. It was a cultural thing. And so they deny the command of God not to do that, but to put men in these positions. Because they make the Bible to be culturally relevant writing or event. And so they deny the Word of God. Right? And you have the entire liberal church doing that. All of them do that. And it's very shameful to do that. The talk from the scriptures about sexuality. And there's a lot of talk. I mean, it seems every other week there's some new sex talk going on television, you know, with all the talking heads about this and about that. And I don't even want to name these things. You know what they are. And they're despicable. They're just perverse. And they're talking seriously about this stuff. As if it's meaningful, as if we're wonderful people for opening our hearts up to perverts. And all kinds of sin. The Bible doesn't do that, right? The Bible said, no, but the Bible is old. The Bible does not, it's not relevant in that area. In the area of sexuality, in the area of relationships, in the area of marriage and divorce and remarriage, endlessly. On and on and on, for any and every reason, which God condemns in both testaments. But we can't talk about that anymore because it was for the time in which the Bible was written. And there are a lot of people that do that. That are Christians, call themselves Christians. And I don't doubt that many of them are. But, you know, the Bible is in several places not relevant for today. And so they deny the commands of God, the ethics, the morality of the Bible on that basis. And that's subtracting from the Word, isn't it? And we're be careful. I mean, I can't help it. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid to say that, to buy into that thought that the Bible's just in certain places is culturally relevant. It's not relevant for today. And call myself a Christian and call others Christians. God's saying that's not the case. But who am I to judge, right? So I'm not. I'm not going to start pointing to people and naming names. I could do it. I could do it. I could tell you who said what. And I could tell you my opinion, that person's not saved, even though he says he is, and even though he knows the faith backward and forward, and even though he's in the Reformed camp. But I'm not going to do that. I can. But I won't. God is the judge. But I'm telling you that we need to take seriously what God has said in both these places in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and Revelation 22. And not take away from the Word of God. And I've given you five ways. And the beautiful thing is when we don't take away, we don't add to, and we don't take away from the Word of God, it's our delight in life. And more, I have become convinced as I listen to all these smart people and all these sophisticates talk and talk about this sin, and they can't even see the nose in front of their face, the distortion, the twist and the turns that they're making, And the Bible's just there, and it's just relevant, and it's for all times. It's ethics, it's morality, it's truth for all times. I marvel. And it brings to my soul such a peace, such a settling, that I just want to encourage you all to bolster your assurance by not adding one thing to the scripture and not taking or diminishing one thing from it. It will be a joy to your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we do thank Thee. Thy word is truth. We know that. We have said that. If there is any way that the lie of the serpent, the lie of the evil one, has snuck into our lives, has caused us to compromise Thy word in any way, reveal it to us. For we are a people that believe the Bible is the word of God in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation. And we would not dare purpose to add something to it or take away from it. We praise You and thank You for it. In Your name, Lord Jesus, who is so, who thinks of the Word so highly that Thou dost call Thyself the Word, the Logos, the Word of God, to emphasize how important it is, how important You are. We pray in Your name these things. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing a final hymn, hymn 59, Forever Settled in the Heavens, hymn 59.